Have a great leather jacket, and you oil the collar so it stands up like this. Round back so it stands up. So it always looked pretty, you know. Wore a little jewelry. We call that peacocking now, right? He wore a little bit of jewelry. And DBS, big smile. When I read that in the game, I could see Freddie right away. Freddie would walk in the room, always smile. Boy, I'll say that really carries the damn, that shit. For example, one of the things I'm always asking Chicago Man about is that he's got a great smile, and he should, when he walks into a room, he should flash and keep flashing. You know, big smile carries a lot of weight more than you think. So be conscious of it. You want to study yourself in the mirror, so forth. I don't know. Some people think I have a nice smile, and I'm sometimes kind of crappy, quite porcelain. But a big smile goes a long way. And Freddie taught me about that. Look smiling, walk erect, work out so you're fit, you know. Taught me to work out. Got me started on training, bodybuilding when I was 14. Guys, that was the best thing on the beach when I was 17. Because in those days, guys didn't work out as much. So it was easy. Easy to top everybody on the beach. You know? I had a great time at Upstreet Beach. Always meet babes and make out. Yeah. 14, 15, 16. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Now, guys work out more. A lot more gyms around. You're more conscious of looking good and so forth. More competitive, just as well. More competitive. You're staying single longer. And you got to compete for these days who are a little harder to please than they were in the old days. So, but you guys are at the top. Oh, let's go on about what Freddie told us. Okay. Freddie taught me about takeaway. If a girl displeases you in any way, you know, take your attention away from her. Don't give her, you know, give her too much attention. Use body language to draw her into your circle, you know, vacuum her in. Bring her back, talk to other girls, freeze her out, especially freeze her out. She's been, if she hasn't put out, I mean, Freddie would just about kick her out of the car altogether. You know, he'd open the door like this, you know, stare straight ahead, wouldn't even say goodnight, you know. And I try that a few times, sure enough, they throw their arms around my neck, you know, always get there. So that stuff definitely works. Take away, freeze out, holding your frame. Looking good, and a big smile, you know, working out, yeah. What else?
What sorts of things does he say about maintaining your frame control?
Well, he didn't have to say that much about it because you can see the way he walked, you know. He was self-contained, you know what I mean? Everything bounced off him, you know. He was pleased with himself, friendly to everybody, but, you know, he was never a supplicant, you know. You never get earnest body language trying to please anybody else. Freddie was always standing straight, chest out, big smile, drawing people into the circle. He always looked happy. He'd get the girls around, make them laugh, and so forth. You know. And if a girl gave him a hard time, he was always pleasant anyway. You know. Sometimes he'd freeze them out, do the takeaway, so forth. But if they came back and they were pleasant, he never made a big deal out of it. You know. Never chewed them out. In other words, he never let them know that they affected him. They didn't bother him. His world was self-contained in Fred. You know? And he still does it. I've seen Freddie that one as well. And he still has that control of his frame, you know, that draws people to it. Yeah. That's cover your question? He didn't codify it, you know, in words, you know, but he demonstrated, you know. Yeah, the way he carried himself and talked to people, he was always the center, you know, a pleasant center. You always look happy. When you look happy, you smile, you kid people a little bit, you draw people towards you. People want to go towards the center of happiness. That's instinct, you know. Yeah. If you go around like this, you know, or you don't say hello to anybody and so forth, you're slumped over, negative, you know, but you always look positive. Big smile.
Yeah.
So this might be kind of a difficult question to answer, but...
No, I'm not gay.
What?
Okay. Thanks anyway.
Done.
And you can still send me money.
Okay. What do you think are the beliefs that underlie that sort of attitude? I think you seem to exemplify that sort of thing, too. You said, no, I mean, it seems like things don't really bother you too much, you know, even if things are not going your way.
Here's the thing. I always say, I've been beat up with clubs, shot at, and thrown out of airplanes. I've had my neck broken. You know, so it's hard for me to be bothered by things that a lot of people are bothered by. You know what I mean? You're not going to beat me up with clubs. Well, you know, sort of things that might bother an average person. You know, don't bother me too much.
Do you think that that's a result of the fact that you've been beaten up and that sort of thing? Or do you think you had those sorts of attitudes already and those enabled you to get through all that?
No, I was a loser. I was an AFC. No, I didn't have that attitude to begin with. Freddie sure was born with it, that's a fact. No question about that. Well, he had the gift. But on the other hand, Freddie also had certain advantages that the rest of us didn't have. At 14, his folks let him use the car. Christ, you know how unusual that was in those days? Just to have a car at your disposal. In those days, the man of the house had the car. Women didn't even drive. They didn't even have a car, period. You know, and for the Levis, 14-year-old son, he was pretty unusual. So Freddie had access to a car, he had transportation, you know. He had enough money to buy good clothes. He didn't have to go to a job. I mean, I had to go to a job when I was 14 to buy clothes, because my folks wouldn't buy me clothes. Or when I was 12, 14, I was working ever since I was 5. So, you know, he had certain natural advantages over the rest of the guys his age, no question about it. But me, I was an AFC. You know, if I seen that way now and control the situation, because I've lived through a lot of crap, you know, that you guys mostly are not familiar with.
Do you think there are any specific, like, major turning points in your life?
Oh, yeah, a lot of... yeah. What you call a sea change, you know the expression sea change, if something is left in the sea long enough, it changes into something else, or becomes the swamp creature or something. Definitely being married affected a sea change in my personality, because before that I was kind of wary of women, suspicious, didn't trust them, paranoid, and had dark circles under my eyes and so forth. After being married, my girl, dark circles went away. I looked rested all the time and so forth, you know. Just changed me without even trying, without even knowing that anything was happening to me. It just changed me all around. Made me a lot more quiet, you know, settled. And, of course, they say that a dog also has a calming effect in the house. But, yeah, no, being married had a terrific calming effect on me, no question. And then also... when I changed from the writing business to real estate, that made a big change. Because before that, I was always struggling to develop contacts and contracts and get writing assignments and so forth. I was always hand to mouth, you know, not too reliable. I had good spells, you know, and I made a bit of money, and I made a living, you know. But what's a living, you know? Didn't have any insurance or anything, you know. So... but then, when I went to real estate, I think I made a year's living in 6 weeks or some goddamn thing. I thought, wow, where the fuck is this going on my life? And being in real estate was so much easier, you know, that also had an effect on my personality, made me into a much nicer person. Yeah. So there, I can see as changes at various times in my life that changed my personality, no question, at various times. Yeah. Like, I had a surgery in 1992. I used to yell at the kids and call names. And I guess I had a blood poisoning of some kind. Must have had it for about 15 years. Making me crazy. And overnight, changed my personality. Made me much calmer. Things didn't bother me as much and so forth. So I had quite a few moments when I just changed on a dime due to an outside source. Nothing I told myself to do or had any control over. You know, they claim, some people think that we have free will and that you can control everything about yourself, you know. Isaac, when they asked Isaac Bashevis Singer if he believed in free will, he said, of course I believe in free will. I have no choice. You know, I always thought that was a good commentary on it, you know. We're all at the mercy of things outside of us that affects us. Thus, you know, our personality and how we feel about things, whether we're depressed or not depressed.
Yeah. You're saying we're all the subject of our influences.
Subject of our influences?
We're all the subject of our influences collectively, culturally,
sure.
Socially.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, nature versus nurture, you know. But actually, it all counts. Everything. The way you're born and are and the way things affect you from outside of yourself, so forth. So on in a delicate balance. But if you're not depressed, obviously you don't understand the situation. You know, because there's good reason to be depressed sometimes, you know. So some people think that if you go to a psychotherapist, you can get everything fixed, you know. Well, if you're a 3-foot-tall dwarf, AFC, it won't make you 4 feet tall. But if it's like a therapist, you'll still be a 3-foot-tall dwarf. Yeah. So, you know, a therapist can't fix everything, you know. Might be good to have somebody to talk to if you need somebody to talk to. A lot of times people who are in therapy are people who have it on their insurance, so they get it for free, so might as well use it. I always think that anybody who can afford to go to a psychiatrist probably doesn't need it. He's successful enough so he would be able to afford to go to a psychiatrist. I don't know. So from what I hear, some people do have good luck with that, you know, so I can't say for sure. Is there any other questions? Yeah.
I have another question.
Yeah, I can.
So if you had to, like, do it all over again, would you change anything?
Oh, yeah, I would definitely try to learn more about game, but things, when I was younger, there was no place to learn about it. You know, I don't know of any place to learn about it before Neil Strauss came out with his book and codified it very clearly with all these different headings and so forth. Then you can see it. It's like shining a light on the whole thing, you know. Before, it was in the dark and nobody codified it. You know? If I had to do it all over again, boy, I wish I had known game 40 years ago. Yeah, no question about that. It would help me a lot. But also, you didn't have the opportunity years ago. You know what I mean? To use it. There just weren't that many single girls out. You know, real hard to meet girls. Really hard. So it would have helped me to some degree, but I don't think I would have married any differently. I married a great girl. I don't think she could have been improved upon. And I like my kids, so. I would have been nicer to my kids. My older kids. Because, like I said, for many years I was crazy. I was crazy. I used to yell and call names. You know, that affected my older kids. You know, I wish I had that to do all over again. But I would have married the same girl as far as I go. Yeah, like my kids. I wish I would have had more. I like fancy. Some people don't fancy having kids. Some of you guys will never have kids. Don't want kids. Don't fancy. I know. I was never interested in children. I never didn't think they were cute or anything. You know. More or less, you know, I thought they were assholes. You know. You pain in the ass. Well, but of course, your own are adorable. Other people's children are a big pain in the ass. Your own are just high spirited. But I wanted to try it out, you know, just because I had never done it. I had done most everything else, you know. And I was really surprised that I liked it. Well, when the first baby came out of the chute, wow, sympathizing. Changed me overnight. That's another thing that changed. Yeah, being a parent. Changed your life and who you are. No question about it. It changed. Yeah. I recommend it. I like the kids. Everybody's different. Some people don't fancy it. or camping.
Yeah. So when you were with the little girls and the best of yours, you were little, right?
Yeah.
Did you, like, hesitate at all? Did you think? Were you, like, scheming with how am I going to kiss her and not get in trouble? Or
yeah, I was scheming how am I going to kiss her and not get in trouble because I wouldn't have done it if there was anybody else there. More or less, I was definite about isolating her, being in a private place, you know, with no interference, you know. Didn't want to get any trouble. And at the same time, I was willing to take the risk, you know. I knew I probably shouldn't be doing it, even at age 5. I was still willing to take the risk. Yeah. Like I said, I'll do that about once a year. Yeah.
I have two very good questions.
Yeah.
I'll start with the first one that kind of relates back to this question. What your beliefs. I'm thinking in particular of the anecdote that you gave of the girl from Mac, I mean, where was probably that was threatening that, you know, she's going to start taking drugs if, you know, write it back, and then you just kind of, like, your attitude was just sort of like, well, fantastic, you know, lots of take drugs. And you had this kind of, like, attitude about it, like, you really don't give a shit when she tries to, like, give you this text. And I'm wondering, I mean, so getting back to Bo's question, when you see a woman who's like just she's kind of like, you know, shit kissing you like that, what's your belief about women when you kind of come back with something that's almost like borderline cocky like that?
Well, yeah, this is a girl who I can see. Now that I understand game better, I can see very well what she's doing. That she's gaming. You see? And I know that she's gaming. I don't believe it's sincere, you see. She has a record for sabotaging relationships, and the reason for that is not obscurity. She's testing guys, you know, so I'm not the only one. And I know very well that if I was too easy at her, she'd dump me like a shot and never give a shit about it, though. Whether I was doing drugs or cutting my throat or anything else. I know it's just a shit test. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. No, absolutely. And sure enough, she's not doing any drugs. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. My other question had to do with, I think it was a unique perspective of, you know, guys who, I mean, a lot of guys get in game, like, just having this sort of, like, you know, first dating, like, they don't have this, like, marriage to sort of compare that to.
Oh, yeah.
And you were sort of suggesting that the rules change a little bit when you're in marriage. So I'm kind of wondering if you can talk more about that in particular. Kind of like, you know, talking about the game, one of the things that Neil talks about is like early on, you show a lot of disinterest and this kind of thing. Can you say more about like how the rules changed for you?
How the rules changed?
Yeah.
Well, once you've got conquered the girl and you brought her into your circle, she becomes a part of your family. Basically, you made a commitment. You made a very now the rules change because she's part of your family and you have to look after everybody in your family, right? Everybody's main contribution. Family is the oldest continent itself. Everybody contributes according to their ability, takes according to their need. You know? And once she's a part of your family, like I say that the black people who marry into our family, I always say, well, we're biggest, but we're your biggest now. In other words, no matter how you come to a family, once you're in, that means you have to look after their interests. You know? In all families, there are people who will never get along. It doesn't matter. Still look after each other's interests because you are a parent. I was reading, reading some guy's autobiography the other day. Guy who owns the magazine Memories up on Dempster wrote his autobiography. I'm forgetting his name, Basso. And he writes about being beaten up by his mother when he was a child and actually kicked out into the street where 14 or something. And yet, 20 years later, he needed a favor, and she was the one who did it for him. Made a connection for some way to help him, something, and they became friendly again on account of that. But families, well, that's my belief. Naturally, not everybody in the family is going to be good for it, you know, looking after other people's care. I got my own brother is stolen from me. My sister, too. You know? So what? I grew up, I spent 17 years in the same room. I can't refuse to talk to them. You know, they're memories. And I ignore that part of it. I never bring it up. So, it's in your family. I probably spoke with him at one time, too. Maybe some a record or something when we were 7 or 8. So, you know, families aren't perfect, but you do your best to look after each other's interests. When you marry a girl, you made a commitment. You know, you have to look after her interests first. It's nice to fuck around through other women, and I've done it, you know, but I would never let any of that interfere with my looking after her interests and looking after the children. That's only extra. If I had the spare time, I would fuck around on the side. I'll never let that interfere with my looking after my family.
Well, one thing I was wondering is, like, so like the principles of the game, like, did you find yourself still using those principles within the marriage?
Within the marriage, because you have to maintain a certain amount of alpha, you know. The girl won't test you as much or as often, but every so often you have a little test and you got to maintain yourself. For example, I hit my wife maybe twice when I was first married, you know, when I was really young. And I felt so lousy about it the second time.
First time, just didn't care.
Well, I mean, I didn't beat her up or anything. I remember very distinctly, we were going up the hill towards Bolsterstone, and outside of Sheffield Inn in Yorkshire, the hill. And I apologized to her, you know, for hitting her for the second time. And you know what she said? She said, "Oh, I don't like that." In other words, she wanted me to be sure of myself. She didn't want a guy who was going to come around like a wimp and apologize to her.
I was going to say, despite all social norms, there are some women who did that.
Some women like that. Women like that. I know a couple who are always fighting and punching each other. Jesus Christ.
I don't want anyone here to do that because of the laws and whatever. And also, I mean, some people just find it baseless. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
But nonetheless,
some people
there
like
are some
it.
Women who like that.
Some people like it. I don't. After that time, all those years ago, and that was even before we had any children, I swore I would never do that again. I never did. I never hit my kids or my wife again. I really hate it so much. Hey, Bruce.
What's up, gorgeous?
How you doing, beautiful?
Good.
Hey, are you still wearing those panties I gave you, the ones with the heart?
No, they're above my
pants. Oh, anyway. I don't like that. I don't like it. Besides which, especially for the kids, I don't believe in punishing kids altogether. But parental disapproval is a lot more important than most parents realize. So punishing a child really is extra. What? No, not beating the kid. I'm just disapproving of anything they do. Looms enormous to a child. It's enormous.
I don't believe it.
Because your disapproval looms so large to a child. Just to disapprove, if dad disapproves of something they do, for a normal child, looms enormous.
Yeah, my brother was growing up, that didn't apply with us. We were probably in a different scenario than your children.
Uh-huh.
But I just don't say
that. Your dad had to punish you?
Oh, no. My mother, mostly, I mean,
looms enormous to a child. Or disapproving their school grades or anything. Just enormous. Bigger than you think, you know. So that any other kind of fight kind of redundant. Kind of extra, you know. Yeah. I don't like it myself. And though from what I hear, my eldest children say that I used to ground them. But I don't remember it. Maybe I did. Anyway, I gave up punishment years ago. Hey, Bruce, what's up?
Just wanted to hear some wisdom.
Yeah, no, you missed it all. I think I got you. I don't think I have too much to get. Did I cover that question?
What?
No.
This question.
Whose question was it?
I was just asking how the rules change.
Yeah, the rules change.
From pre-marriage age.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to demonstrate higher value. You know, she's made a commitment, ostensibly, But nowadays, a lot of women don't live up to their commitments, do they? Find some excuse to get rid of the guy.
I've got a question which might help is, how do you keep it interesting, man? I mean, like, they're married for so long. Yeah. I mean, I feel like lust goes after 2 years and shit. I mean, like, how do you stay together? Nietzsche wrote that, you know, most longer to stay together than keep this friendship as opposed to lust.
Well, I don't know about the friendship part, but myself, I always have a compulsion to honor commitment. You know? Feel that, and then in my family, our obligations choose us and not the other way around. So that I would honor my commitment no matter what. And in fact, my wife, towards the end, was sick and disabled for many years, too. But I would never have divorced her. And I know men do dump wives who get sick, but I would never do it. It wouldn't be genetically possible for me to do it.
How old were you younger, though?
When I was younger?
When you were younger, I mean, was there any kind of clear information or anything like that?
Any what?
Any kind of clear information or any kind of thought in your mind, like maybe, you know, I could still find someone else or something like that?
No, no. No, once I made the commitment, I stood by it all. No, it never entered my mind.
So it never got boring at all?
Yeah, there were plenty of times it was boring. In fact, well, I used to complain it was boring. But, did it anyway. I was married to it. You have a commitment. If you think, you know, you just want to come and go and it gets boring, don't get married because it will get boring. It'll get boring for you, it'll get boring for her, too, you know. But, of course, if you have children, that'll bind you together. I don't see how people stay together if they don't.
Why do you think so many people
are getting divorced? Why are so many people getting divorced?
Is most it because of, there's no, like, installment of commitment or, you know, honor to your
well, no fault divorce to start with, and also, most of the divorces are bringing my women, right? They get my women, aren't they?
Yeah, actually,
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I hear, well, girls are finding out that they can support children on their own, and so they're finding a pretext to dump a guy if they're not that crazy about and so forth. It's just so easy for them. I meet girls all the time who have dumped some guy, and he's a perfectly nice guy. He's crazy about him. He even sends him support gratuitously. You know, he's having a hard time, and still love him. So they've dumped some nice guy and so forth. I can't figure out why. I have no commitment. Like my friend Freddie, who was the supreme gamesman of all time, by that sort. They had 4 kids. And his wife divorced him. Oh, I couldn't believe it. You know, Freddie's a nice guy, always made a living, dressed well, always presentable, understood games perfectly, knew how to maintain amusement. And America, no, she said she wanted to find herself some bullshit. I mean, she's late 40s. Pretty annoying. Like you're in big demand, you know? You're a fucking dog, you know what I mean? And I used to run into her every so often, you know? And she invariably was being some guy who looked like Freddie. That would make me laugh. And I didn't want to say anything at first. And Freddie, after she dumped him, going to find herself. She wound up selling insurance or some fucking thing. And Freddie, he wound up marrying a much younger girl, maybe 20 years younger, girl 26 or something, who had never had children. Of course, at that time, I remember thinking 26, wow, that's a little, you know. But, and they wound up having more kids with her. And I'd run into his ex, and she'd say, hey, you're afraid to marry that young girl? She, right, how about that? I think to myself, oh, you stupid asshole, if you had nothing. Obviously, he wouldn't marry her, but yeah, he might as well marry a cute young girl. What do you want to do, marry an old man? You know? So, did okay in the second marriage, though he would have rather stayed married. I know that. It was her idea. That is your point.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. Women are just trying to eat you. In Scandinavia, they don't give a shit about marriage altogether. I wrote a book on this entitled Sensuality in Scandinavia. You can see it on Amazon. Scandinavia, they have a good night fuck, you know? Good night kisses, well, they have a good night fuck. They raise their leg at the door and they fuck, you know?
We gotta go there.
Yeah, yeah.
Road trip.
Definitely. They like dark guys. Because everybody there is blonde. They don't like blonde guys.
Oh, I love blondes.
So Yeah. You like those Scandinavian girls. They like to look after you, too. What?
You've seen them.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. They like to look after you. You don't have to go to work. They'll bring home a paycheck for you. Just lay about and look cute. You know, it's great. So Scandinavian girls are very independent, and they really don't feel that marriage is all that necessary, or a man is that necessary to bring up a child, and so forth. And American girls are not quite there yet, you know, not that bad, you know. And maybe I already had a tradition being someone for you. They've got a social net, government social net, social welfare net, more extensive than ours, you know. But American girls are certainly heading towards that direction, no question, where they won't have much regard for guys, you know, except to use this for breeding purposes. So it's just the way things are, you know. In some ways, the guys have got a better deal, in some ways you've got it worse, you know. Will the girls honor their commitments? And, my girl is pretty good about it. Always better.
I have a question about kind of back to the frame control type stuff. So it pretty clearly, like the girl that we were talking about earlier, that's, oh, if you don't call me back, I'm going to kill myself, do drugs, and whatever.
Well, you won't be the first one that died, you know.
I mean, that, I've seen a lot of that sort of thing. It's pretty clear just kind of not reacting is the way to deal with that. And they kind of eventually will get back into line.
Yeah.
So what about, and you said, I mean, your belief on that was just kind of, you recognize it as just something that's not really sincere, and so, whatever,
it
doesn't really affect you.
They think it is, when they say it, but they're in a different frame.
Yeah. You know? Well, another way to try to kind of manipulate people is to play on their sympathies by having a, right, like having a hard luck case, and, oh, please, feel sorry for me, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What, how do you deal with that the same way, or is there a different way to deal with that sort of?
I just listen to it. I realize now that they're doing it all the time. I feel probably didn't recognize it as much in the old days, but now I can see it. I just call it the vulnerability game. I'd be surprised if a babe didn't bring that to me at some point. You know, I think she was from another planet. Just about. I know a girl has 40,000 acres in New Mexico. Where she keeps her horses, of course. As another waterfront estate at Martha's Vineyard, $5 million estate, with servants. As a $4 million estate in Greenwich, Connecticut, with servants, of course. A Park Avenue apartment. A condo in Palm Beach, and so forth. You wouldn't believe the hard life she had. The complaints. Oh, the rabbits are taking over. She saw a rabbit on the estate. She goes crazy. Where's my shotgun? Not this year. Wait a minute. The rabbits are supposed to be there. They're out in the country, right? You know, it's idiotic, you know. So her list of complaints and her hard life and how hard things are, you know, she's a gorgeous babe. Her kids are in good shape. I told her, if you're not happy, nobody's happy. You know? You don't even have to go to a job, for Christ's sake, you know. Yeah. All she does show jumping from one end of the week. You know what show jumping is? Where show their horses. That's all she does. That's a real shot. I told her, you're not happy, nobody's happy. Everybody wants to be you. No. Of course, except me, I don't want to be a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if someone would, I guess what I'm wondering about, like in the case of the girl that's saying she's going to do drugs or whatever, she is trying to get something from you.
Yeah.
And use that as a way to, right? So if someone was trying to get something from you, or on the other hand, if someone's just not following through on a commitment that they've made to you, or you know, something that they should be doing to you, what?
Sorry.
You what?
I said crack your skull.
Well, yeah. I mean, what? How would you? How do you handle that sort of?
Oh, I ignore it.
Just ignore it. So it's the same. So I'm thinking. I mean, there's a distinction between like I'm gonna go do something really impulsive and kill myself and whatever, versus
hey,
like please
on.
Feel
Bruce,
sorry
would
for
you,
me.
Would you see if that leather jacket would fit you? I don't know if you ever used for that.
Which one?
That was scary.
Oh yeah.
You're a big guy. I should have fit you. Yeah.
Do you just treat all of those things sort of the same way? Like if someone's crying and I feel so sad you're leaving me. What? It's the same thing. Just kind of wait it out.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other question is, I mean, so there's a distinction between someone trying to get something from you versus someone owes something to you, and you're just, you know, and they're just not gonna do, you know, I mean, maybe they've made a commitment to you or something and they're not going to follow through with whatever. How do you react to that sort of thing?
Well, it depends on the commitment. I mean, if you're talking about a tenant that owes you money, then they have to go into eviction court, right? But if you're talking about a girl who's made a commitment, well, if it's short of the marriage commitment,
Yeah, I mean, it could be something like, you know, she said she'd show up a certain time, she's late, you know, I mean, all the time, or I mean, whatever, it could be tenants, it could be women.
Well, as you know about me, I don't wait, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody's more than 20 minutes late, they're showing you disrespect, no question. 20 minutes is definitely disrespect, you know.
So in general, I mean, how would you characterize when someone is showing you disrespect in the sense that they've made, you know, there's something they ought to be doing.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Socially or legally or otherwise.
It's part of life.
You just kind of cut ties with that person if they're not.
Cut ties. I wouldn't pay any attention. Just move on.
Yeah.
Wait for them to call. They want to call, you know.
Right. Yeah. You're talking about chicks, right?
Well, anything. I mean, because I think it seems like the sort of thing that applies to a lot of different kinds of interactions.
Notwithstanding chicks, I mean, if it's chicks, I completely don't know them. But if it's like other people, I see you call them on it.
Especially
if there's money involved or honor or
reputation,
because
you don't let anyone fuck with your reputation. Nah, I don't give a shit.
Two different
perspectives. Dangerously, that's their problem.
But that's kind of what I've kind of seen or whatever, and I think that's kind of the best. You can't do that in a business environment or whatever, but if it's just socially with people, mm-hmm. If it's with girls, younger girls, but girls, I think.
You can always do that. I mean, there's plenty of women, so who cares? And you have to accept life as it is and move on, you know. Just like soccer, you know. I don't know if you guys play soccer. I always think in terms of soccer, you know. Forget the last play. Move on to the next one, you know. Don't let anything carry over after the game or anything, you know. Move on. Things are not going to be perfect. I mean, if I could be suing people left and right for stealing from me or some beef, whatever, I don't pay anything. I have a friend that had a gas station. I asked him once, what are you doing? The employees are stealing from you. I love it. Figuring it as a cost part of your overhead, if people are going to stiff you in this life. You know, and some stores call it shrinkage. People will steal from you, stiff you, do you ill, so forth, and move on. You know, doggy side likes to start a fight, but I'm more likely to go right on to the next thing and not look back, you know. I don't like to make lawsuits. You know, if people steal from me, I just go on and make more.
You got to pick your fights, too. Can't go after them all and can't let them all get away.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. I've beaten some of the biggest corporations in the country. I've taken people to court on various stuff, but usually they sued me first, and then I turned it around. It was suitable fucking, you know. People say, you know, anybody who has self for a lawyer has a fool for a lawyer, but I've proven that wrong, you know. So I've done quite a bit of pro se. I've beaten some really big companies, but mostly I wait for them to sue me, you know, and initiate. Very rare. Yeah, mostly I let it go. I always go out and get more. My policy. People yeah. Steal from me, sniff me in. Can't be bothered. I don't want to have to spoil my night. I want to go out and have a good time and so forth. I don't want to be thinking about this crap too much.
This might be a way to rephrase the whole thing, because I think, and maybe you make a distinction between men and women, or between business and women, or whatever, but so. One school of thought would be if someone is misbehaving in whatever way, whether that's they're trying to get something from you or they're not kind of treating you respectfully or whatever it is. So one school of thought would be kind of like, you can behave in certain ways so that they will have to kind of come into line, or you can influence them to come into line and start kind of acting right.
I never make threats.
Right, yeah, I mean, say a takeaway, right? Like, if a girl is not behaving the way that you want her to behave, you do a takeaway and she starts behaving the way you want her to behave, right? So one school of thought would be, if a person's kind of misbehaving, you can sort of train them to start behaving the right way. Another school of thought would be, if they're not behaving the way, if they just don't behave right, you just cut ties with them and move on and kind of find someone who...
Well, it's the same thing.
Is it?
Takeaway or freeze out? Freeze out is just an extreme takeaway, right?
Mm-hmm. Is that the same thing? I mean...
To me, like,
what I'm saying is that... No, it's. I don't think it's the same thing. I mean, one school of thought would be, if you find out that this person is just not good, just not a good investment of your time, just don't deal with them.
Yeah.
And seriously, don't deal with them. Not like you're not gaming them, right? You just
cut them off.
Right. In other words, one school of thought would just sort of be, find people that just already are good people that you want to bother to spend some time with.
Fine. You know people by how they behave.
Yeah, but then the other school of thought would be, like, on the other extreme, would be the idea that you could just take anyone and...
Train them?
And what?
And train them, you mean?
Yeah, basically.
Prison.
I don't think so. People are born all kinds of different ways. I don't think you can train everybody.
So would you just say it's kind of a continuum and you've got to find sort of the right certain point?
Not putting too much effort.
I have a
question. Okay. This has to be the last question. It's all the data.
Oh, yeah.
What has your experience been with sort of the idea that you attract the type of people that you are? Or, like, say you go around the world thinking that everyone is out there to betray you.
Everyone ends up betraying you.
I mean, or say you go the opposite point of view, that your paradigm is that everyone is there to help you, everyone knows your friend, and you end up attracting that too. What is your experience with that? Do you think that
goes
away?
Yeah, I don't think that has any effect on the people you attract. You know, how you see the world is very distinct from the world as it really is. For example, I never notice people who don't like me. I know there's a lot of them, but I never notice. I never pay any attention or care. Or give a shit, you know, I mean, so far. And my sister is always saying to me, you know, so-and-so doesn't like us, or so. I'm always surprised. I'm like, really? Never noticed. I just don't notice that kind of thing, you know. Or people snub me. Since I always say hello first, nobody can ever snub me. Some things I just don't notice. And in fact, it's very hard for me to see myself as other people see me. And I know I've made mistakes about that in the past. As you go through life, you see the world in a certain way, but you can't be wrong on it. You know I've been wrong many times, and that actually I was totally different from how I saw myself, and my world was different from how I saw myself, and so forth. I've made a lot of mistakes in the past, you know. So it's easy to make mistakes, you know. Yeah. Did I answer any questions?
Hey, Jim, can I ask one last question?
Yeah.
One last question. I wanted to know. Every time I read like posts on the newbie site, you know, it's somebody really pouring out their whole story and getting in deep into it, and then you'll reply with something blatantly like, "Who cares?
Move on. Yeah.
Why are you getting so, you know,
fussing over
this?" And you know, I read that, it's like, you're right. And what I want to know from you is, you know, with your parents. I want to hear from you telling us to be assholes, to have that mindset. I mean, how would you tell guys starting out in this stuff?
Well, sometimes you can only tell by getting somebody else's perspective. Sometimes you're too close to the forest to see the trees. You just can't see it. You know, and you need somebody else to kind of shine a light on or see from another perspective. You need somebody else. And sometimes you just can't do it. Sometimes you just can't see yourself as you are or as you appear to the world. You can't. It's impossible. Too close to the subject, you know, and things will bother you about your life that other people see right away that, oh, that doesn't matter. Bring something over that for it. And you just can't see it. You're just too close to it all. You know? You do the best you can. I probably, from one day to the next, I probably talk about things that you guys would say, what is it about it? Yeah, okay. Go for it. This is the best game. You know what I'm saying?
He was fucking around. All right.